Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, kids 5 to 7 years of age are invited to the hour-long Future Stars Youth Football Clinic taking place at Cleveland Browns Fan Fest on Saturday, June 6th from 12 to 1. They'll work with top high school coaches to learn football basics. Registration includes 2 complimentary Fan Fest tickets and a commemorative t-shirt. Sign your kids up today for the Future Stars Youth Football Clinic on clevelandbrowns.com. News from around the NFL. Ryan Clady, the left tackle for the Denver Broncos, has torn his ACL and will be out for the 2015 season. Brutal loss, of course, the Browns will face the Broncos here at First Energy Stadium.
Nate Orchard,
this season.
Bring it. You're getting a backup.
Yes. Yeah, you bring it.
Hate to see that happen to anybody.
No, and that's a tough.
Especially for a Pro Bowler like Ryan Clady, and also, too, an aging Peyton Manning, you know, and also Emmanuel Sanders came out earlier today. I read an article about how he said their passing numbers will go down, and now the loss of Ryan Clady does not help that situation.
Does not help at all. No, that's a tough one. We got phone lines, though, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Tim in Indiana. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not good, too man. Much. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. Listen, I want to go back to the statistics conversation because
sure.
I'm with Gibbs on this one. There are some stats out there that are completely ridiculous, and I want to pick on interceptable passes in particular. What is the definition of an interceptable pass? How many times has Richard Sherman made a ridiculous play, got his pinky on the tip of the football, popped it up, and one of his safeties goes over and picks it off? Is that an interceptable pass? Because if that's the case, then every time that Aaron Rodgers throws a back shoulder fade, it's an interceptable pass. Every time there's a defender within 2 yards of the point of a catch, it's an interceptable pass.
No, I don't know that I would agree with that. If the defender's able to get their hands on the ball, and that would be something different, right? Than opposed to like them not getting it.
Okay, so
I don't know what his criteria is, but I know that there are certain passes that are thrown directly to defenders that they drop that certainly are easy to quantify as interceptable. I'm not hanging my hat on an interceptable pass as being the end-all be-all of stats. My point is there are ways to evaluate things deeper using statistics and using methods. And as long as, truthfully though, as long as whatever you determine to be an interceptable pass is and you apply that same criteria to everybody, you're still going to come up with something.
You are. Absolutely. And that's the point that we tried to make in having this discussion yesterday, the fact that he judged the number one quarterback, which was who? Yesterday? Who was it yesterday?
The best was Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. Oh, Alex Smith.
Because he checks down. And
Checks down and he throws, you know, no passes beyond 10 yards.
Right.
Was number one, and Brian Hoyer being 32nd yesterday. But it wasn't, you know, to downgrade him. It was just his standard that he created that he applied to the 32 starters.
Right.
Whether it's valid or not, it's up to, you know, to you to determine how much merit you put in those numbers. And someone like Gibbs puts none.
Well,
someone like you puts some enough to read it on the radio.
Matt, you just said it. His standard. Why is it his standard? Why is he setting the standard for this?
Because he probably, you know, he took the time to do the research and watch every single pass play.
But is
the
that, you know, but is that the NFL standard?
No,
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I understand.
I don't know.
But you got to figure what Boomer Esiason says on a Fox pregame and what, you know, Strahan or they might be in the same show. I'm just throwing out names. A former player says on one station for a pregame and what another player says referencing that same player, that same game are completely different. Are you telling me one guy is right and one guy is wrong?
And I'll also be more than happy to let you know that on those shows, there are people that Gibbs refer to as basement dwellers who are supplying those players with information.
For sure. For sure. They got to make them look smart because they're the talent.
Right.
That's right. In anything though.
True.
You know?
216-578. We got Tim in Avon Lake now. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good, man.
Yeah, I think stats, you know, they're just a part of the equation. And I think, you
agreed.
Know, positively or negatively, you can quantify or qualify a lot of stats. Let's just take football. Let's take Andrew Luck. Like, he throws more interceptions. But if you watch their team, it's because he has to try to make more plays. He's throwing a lot of balls. The ball's in the air a lot. It's going deep a lot. And he's trying for that team to make a lot of plays. He's going to have more interceptions. You know, I can say if he has 5 more interceptions than some of the best players, it's okay because he is throwing the ball so much. And, you know, there's stats that, you know, that I don't get. Like, okay, fourth quarter comebacks. Well, did the quarterback put you in position to have to come back, like throwing a couple bad passes? You know what I'm saying?
Did the defense put you in the position? Right.
Right. And there's no stat for this one, which always gets me. They always talk fourth quarter comebacks. What about you're leading the whole game and you're up 4 points and there's 5 minutes left in the game and you're winning, but the quarterback there's 5 minutes and the quarterback makes a great throw on 3rd and 6 and then a great throw on 3rd and 10 and you run the clock out. So that stat's not qualified by anything, but that is, it's not a fourth quarter comeback, but it's keeping the drive alive so you win the game. Just
right,
as important to me.
It's a performance evaluation.
Right. So.
But who's the judge of that?
But anybody could do that. I mean, you could
do that.
That's
what I mean.
I just think that there people can be incredibly intelligent and be able to decipher things even though they didn't play the game.
Absolutely. I mean, he could have grown up in a football family, could have played in high school. You never know if he was interned, you know, with a team at any point. And or, you know, if you're just a crazy super fan and you initially applied that to the team that you follow, say in this case he was a Cowboys fan, okay? And he was just doing that for Romo and wanted to see how Romo would grade out in his interpretable, you know, judgment on this particular stat, then it rolled into everyone else, you know. But his team that he rooted for was the standard, you know, which he, you know, and it just became a bigger issue than it really could have been. But there's a place for it, and I think as we both have stated, it's growing larger and larger every year.
Yes, indeed it is. When we come back, we'll hear from Browns senior staff writer Andrew Gribble recapping the first two sessions of the OTAs. It's coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.